Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story. President Trump reached out to Japan's prime minister hours after his call with Chinese leader Xi, signaling stronger ties with Japan amid Tokyo's tensions with Beijing over Taiwan.
President Trump told me that we are very close friends and that I could call him at any time.
Japan says it will only use force to defend itself. This comes after China claimed Japan could use force even without an armed attack. Both parties referred to a potential China-Taiwan conflict. Chinese hackers recently used American AI technology to launch cyber attacks against companies and governments. A cybersecurity expert joins us to explain how AI is giving a boost to Chinese state-backed hackers. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent saying China is right on schedule with soybean purchases, plus good news for American farmers. Officials say a multi-billion dollar aid package will be announced soon. And President Trump pardons Thanksgiving turkeys at the White House. Turkeys Gobble and Waddle enjoyed their lucky day. Before we dive into the news, here's a message from today's sponsor. As we report every day, global markets are becoming more uncertain. China's growing economy and growing tensions with the U.S. are reshaping the financial landscape, and China is buying gold at record rates to diversify its foreign reserves and decrease its reliance on the U.S. dollar. It isn't just countries that can use gold to protect their wealth, it's individuals as well. That's why we believe in protecting what's real. Physical gold and silver from American Hartford Gold offers stability when markets turn unpredictable. Unlike paper assets, these are tangible stores of value that have weathered economic turmoil, political instability, and inflation for centuries. American Hartford Gold holds an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of five-star reviews from satisfied customers. You can have gold and silver delivered right to your home or stored safely in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. And right now, when you call and mention China in Focus, you could get up to $15,000 in free silver with your first purchase. Call 855-403-1118 or text China to 65532. That's China to 65532 or call 855-403-1118. You can also click the link in the description down below. Protect what you've earned, because in uncertain times, truth and value still matter. Just hours after speaking with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, President Trump picked up the phone again, this time calling Japan's prime minister, Sanae Takaichi. On Tuesday, Takaichi told reporters that Trump briefed her on his conversation with Xi and encouraged her, saying, quote, call me anytime.
President Trump told me that we are very close friends and that I could call him at any time. Under the current international circumstances, following President Trump's recent visit to Japan, I believe that I was able to confirm the close cooperation between Japan and the United States.
During the call, Trump touched on recent U.S.-China relations, including his talks with the Chinese leader. The two also discussed the U.S.-Japan alliance and developments in the Indo-Pacific. Meanwhile, Beijing reacted to the call between Trump and Xi on Tuesday. China's foreign ministry spokesperson said the atmosphere of the call was positive, friendly, and constructive. The comments followed Trump's post on Monday about topics he discussed with Xi, including the Russia-Ukraine war, soybeans, and fentanyl. Notably, he did not mention Taiwan and Japan. But when Trump was asked about China and Taiwan's relationship, he said, quote, Taiwan is Taiwan. Tensions between Beijing and Tokyo are rising after Takaichi suggested Japan could respond militarily if China attacks Taiwan. And Japan has stated repeatedly that its prime minister would not retract her remarks. In the meantime, Takaichi says she'll avoid discussing hypothetical scenarios going forward. Washington is showing solidarity with Japan as Tokyo's tensions with China mount over Taiwan. The U.S. ambassador to China, David Perdue, posted a photo with his Japanese and South Korean counterparts on Tuesday. Perdue says they're committed to working together to protect key supply chains and maintain a free and open Indo-Pacific. China's relations with Japan worsened after the Japanese Prime Minister said Tokyo could intervene militarily if China invaded Taiwan. Chinese leader Xi Jinping spoke with President Trump over the phone on Monday about Taiwan. On Monday, the U.S. ambassador to Japan posted a photo with the Japanese defense minister, saying the U.S. always has the back of its most important ally in the Indo-Pacific. The post comes after Japan decided to move medium-range missiles to Yonaguni, a southern Japanese island almost 70 miles from Taiwan. Japan said the deployment can help lower the chance of an armed attack from foreign adversaries. Japan says it will only use force in self-defense. Japan's ambassador to the United Nations made that clear in a letter to the UN on Monday after China sent its own letter to the UN last week. In his letter to the UN, the Chinese ambassador accused Japanese Prime Minister Takaichi of, quote, having expressed ambitions to intervene militarily in the Taiwan question. He hinted that Japan might use force even if there is no armed attack. The letter added that Takaichi's remarks about a Taiwan contingency amounted to a threat of force against China. The accusation comes as the Chinese Communist Party claims Taiwan as part of China, a view Taiwan strongly rejects. Japan's ambassador to the UN dismissed China's claim as inconsistent with the facts and unsubstantiated. The ambassador added that Japan's fundamental policy remains an exclusively defense-oriented strategy. A government spokesperson said on Tuesday that Japan must firmly refute China's claims.
China's claims that contradict the facts cannot be accepted. The Japanese government must firmly refute them and continue to communicate our position.
The U.S. recently joined several other nations to push for an end to human rights violations in China. Just days later, pro-CCP groups harassed peaceful protesters in Australia. NTD's Melina Weisskopf has more.
The United States has joined a group of 14 other countries, including Australia, Japan, the United Kingdom, and a few others, in signing a statement to the UN calling for the immediate release of people who the Chinese Communist Party has illegally detained for exercising their fundamental freedom of faith. In the statement, the countries raised concerns that ethnic and religious minority groups, particularly Uyghurs, Christians, Tibetans, Falun Gong practitioners, and others, have faced targeted repression, including through separation of children from their families, torture, and the destruction of cultural heritage. The countries are pressing the United Nations to hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable in a meaningful way to combat this human rights issue. It comes just 1 week after the CCP illegally arrested nearly 20 leaders of Zion Church. That's one of the largest underground Christian churches inside of China. One of those leaders, Erza Jin, who's the founder of Zion Church, his daughter testified to lawmakers on Capitol Hill last week. She's urging U.S. leaders to do more to get prisoners of conscience like her father freed.
I'm sometimes indeed fearful. After all, I know that I seek to expose and hold account the second most powerful country in the world. Yet as a Christian, I believe that we are asked to take courage and speak truth, and that God who created heaven and earth will stand by our side.
This comes as a top Chinese Communist Party leader, Zhao Leiji, is visiting Australia right now. Zhao was the subject of a push for sanctions here in the U.S. last month due to human rights issues. Because of his high rank, he plays a lead role in the persecution of Falun Gong, a meditation discipline centered on aligning oneself with truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. Amid Zhao's visit to Australia, a group of Falun Gong practitioners in the country peacefully protested, trying to call attention to the widespread persecution that he's engaged with, including forcibly removing organs from prisoners of conscience. While those protesters were holding banners shedding light on this issue, some members from a pro-CCP group by the name of Fuching Association tried to block these banners from being seen and harassed protesters. One of the protesters, Sao Juxing, had his shirt ripped open by one of the members from the pro-CCP group. Another protester was hit in the head with the flagpole. This isn't a one-off incident happening in Australia. Anywhere Falun Gong has a presence, which is throughout much of the world, there are pro-CCP groups directed to harass and threaten them to try to export the CCP's persecution of the practice outside of its own borders. This was also a key focus in last week's hearing on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers and U.S. leaders are actively working to expose and stop the CCP's transnational oppression here in the U.S. and abroad. Reporting from Washington, D.C., Melina Weisskopf, NTD News.
Chinese purchases of American soybeans are right on schedule, according to U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Tuesday. Take a listen.
And as far as the soybeans, the Chinese are right on schedule in terms of the cadence of their purchases. Over the next 3.5 years, we're going to see the 87.5 million metric tons purchased by the Chinese, minimum.
China is expected to buy 12 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans by January. So far, it has imported just over 1 million metric tons. On Monday, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said the Trump administration plans to announce a multi-billion dollar aid package for U.S. farmers within 2 weeks.
The president always said he would take care of the farmers. They have been with him since he came down the escalator just a few blocks from here in 2015 and began this next chapter.
China accounts for roughly half of all U.S. soybean exports in recent years. On Monday, President Trump called Chinese leader Xi and spoke on Taiwan, Ukraine, and fentanyl. Trump said both countries have reached a very important deal for American farmers, but didn't provide any details. Besson added that while the U.S. and China will always be natural rivals, there are areas where the two countries can cooperate, and overall, the relationship is in a good place. He noted Trump and Xi could have four potential meetings next year. President Trump and First Lady Melania participated in the Thanksgiving turkey pardoning ceremony at the White House on Tuesday. Here's the president at this beloved American tradition.
Are you ready? Gobble. I just want to tell you this very important. You are hereby unconditionally pardoned.
The two turkeys spared from the dinner table this year are named Waddle and Gobble. They weigh over 50 pounds each and come from North Carolina. Trump joked that because President Biden used an auto pen to pardon turkeys last year, the pardons were invalid, but he is repardoning Peach and Blossom anyway. The president also announced updates on peace negotiations in the Russia-Ukraine war.
And we're working on that final war. It's not easy, but I don't know. I think we're going to get there. 25,000 soldiers, Ukraine, Russia. In the last month, 25,000 soldiers have died. So I think we're getting very close to a deal. We'll find out. I thought that one would have been gone quicker. We did 8. I thought that would have been an easier one, but I think we're making progress.
Trump touted that Thanksgiving costs will be lower this year. He hopes all Americans can enjoy Thanksgiving with family and friends and renew their faith in God. The president thanked God for the success of the country. He also thanked the First Lady and the armed forces. Trump plans to fly to his Florida resort later today to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Coming up, Chinese hackers recently used American AI technology to launch cyber attacks against companies and governments. What's different about this attack, and how can AI give a boost to Chinese state-backed hackers? More on that after the break. Thanksgiving travel is taking off. AAA forecasts a record-setting holiday travel period from Tuesday through next Monday. We break down what travelers need to watch for. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. A new frontier in cybercrime. State-backed Chinese hackers recently used American AI technology to automate cyber attacks against companies and governments. What does this mean for cybersecurity and global tech security? We spoke with Rex Lee, cybersecurity advisor at My Smart Privacy, for insight. Rex Lee, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Tiffany, for having me on the show.
Now, there was a lot of buzz recently after it was found out that seems like Chinese state-backed hackers were able to use Anthropic to launch some type of hacking spree. Talk to us about what made this one so different from the past.
What happened with Anthropic was that they were utilizing the AI to automate cybersecurity attacks. Now, this is nothing new. Most cybersecurity experts will tell you that a hacker can easily write a script to launch an attack that is an attack loop repeating itself over and over. This is what's called a distributed denial of service attack on a website, where it gets hit so many times that the website actually gets taken down. Now, utilizing that same attack method with AI, it becomes more surgical. And then the AI can actually look, and it may be hitting security every step of the way, but it's learning at the same time what the vulnerabilities in the security could be. And it can do it much more quickly than writing a script and then having to pull the script down and then write another script and so forth manually. It's AI, so it's automated. So the speed and efficiency and the surgical capability and the learning factors of AI separate this type of attack from any other attack. We've reported before regarding AI that IBM researchers actually utilized, this is going back a couple of years, actually utilized OpenAI to automate cybersecurity attacks. So researchers have already done this, IBM in particular. We're able to train AI to do this. This is at a much larger scale. This is at a scale that a nation state actor would be behind this type of cyber attack.
Yeah, on that note, it seems this one was almost 80 to 90% of the operation executed without human involvement. Have we seen something like that before?
You know, again, we've seen this before, but not at the rate or efficiency that AI can provide. Now, we're not getting any details, which is kind of scary because the attack was directed more or less, even though there were companies and government agencies involved, the scary part of this attack was critical infrastructure, namely utilities, were being targeted to take down the power grid, or you could attack critical infrastructure in the energy industry overall, such as oil refineries or other critical infrastructure outside of the utility industry, defense, and so forth. So with the attack being directed at critical infrastructure, this makes it much more concerning, especially in light of the fact that the head of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency still has not been confirmed. His name is Sean Plinsky, and they've been trying to get him confirmed. So the other concerning factor about this attack, separating it from other attacks, aside from the technical aspects of the attack being integrated with AI, are also the fact that CISA, or the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, has not had a leader since Trump took office. The acting director, Jen Easterly, resigned when Trump took office. And there's some politics around this as to why the confirmation is taking this long.
I want to dig into that because, as you just laid out, there's a lot at stake here, right? Our critical infrastructure could be hit. There's a lot of focus or talks, if you will, about digital security. It's not like our borders are enough to secure a country now because you have technological advances like this. And it sounds like right now where the U.S. is a bit directionless, there's no one leading the counter, if you will, to attacks like this.
There's an acting director, which is okay. They have a lot of experience. What I feel with an agency such as CISA, I could care less if the agency head was a Democrat or Republican, as long as they're competent in cybersecurity. And herein lies the issue with these agencies being headed by appointees of a particular administration based on politics. Now, I can't say that Sean Plinky appointment is political at all. He may very well be competent. It's just being held up in the Senate. He has not been able to be confirmed. Push all that aside, this is an agency that does need leadership like any other agency, but more so in particular because it's in CISA is centered on critical infrastructure. Critical infrastructure includes our telecommunication networks. As you remember, in 2024, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile all went down at the same time because of a vulnerability and a choke point. Just T-Mobile and Verizon, their redundancy kicked in, so they came up before AT&T, and AT&T was down for over 12 hours, creating all sorts of havoc. Now, there's still been no transparency of whether that was a cyber attack or not. It's the fact that these choke points are out there, and if somebody were to hit one of those choke points with an AI-directed attack from a commercial platform like OpenAI or Anthropic or any other AI platform, Genesis by Alphabet, we are at a point of vulnerability where we wouldn't even know where that attack came from, who's launching the attack, and so forth. As a matter of fact, what's really startling about this attack, because it's so wide scale, is there's been virtually no transparency on who the actors are. Usually we'll hear it's a Chinese app group, but we're not hearing that either from Anthropic or the U.S. government. We're just told that the origins of the attack are from China. So that's all they're giving us at this point.
Rex Lee, as always, though, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Today is the start of the Thanksgiving travel period. GasBuddy says drivers should see reasonable prices at the pump. And the FAA says air travelers should benefit from air traffic control operations recovering from the government shutdown. Here's a look at what else might be in store for holiday travelers.
Thanksgiving travel is taking off. AAA forecasts a record-setting holiday period between today and Monday. AAA projects almost 82 million people will venture at least 50 miles from home. That would be last year's record. The association predicts almost 90% of people will drive, about 6 million will fly, and less than half that will choose other transportation. The FAA expects the 2025 Thanksgiving holiday period to be the busiest for air travel in 15 years, with today projected to have the most flights and
Thanksgiving week and Christmas week as well typically do see higher disruption rates.
Some issues are already coming up. The FAA says a problem with an air traffic control frequency caused a ground stop in Dallas yesterday. Near Seattle, a pipeline leak is limiting jet fuel supplies.
Her flight got rerouted and delayed. She has to take a stop in Alaska because of the fuel line thing. She thought it was very inconvenient. I mean, she has to be on a flight for like an extra 6 hours or something.
As air travelers plan for possible disruptions,
come fly with me, let's fly away.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is trying to restore courtesy and class to air travel with this new campaign.
Let's bring civility and manners back. Ask yourself, are you helping a pregnant woman put her bag in the overhead bin? Are you dressing with respect? Are you keeping control of your children? The golden age of travel begins with you.
The Saks Fifth Avenue Light Show returned this holiday season. People came out in decent numbers, packing the street to check it out. NTD's Sean Marshall has more.
Saks Fifth Avenue Holiday Light Show makes its return for the 2025 winter season. Crowds came out to watch the display of lights, sounds, dancing, and a grand fireworks display right in Midtown Manhattan. People watched focused in awe of the colorful light display covering the Saks Fifth Avenue store.
It's excellent. They finally brought it back. They didn't do it last year. And now they finally brought it back. Different soundtrack, different theme, all diamonds and all that.
So you've been to them in the past. What did you think of this compared to the older ones?
Yep, it's tough to say. They change it up every year. Every year it's excellent the way they do it.
New York City is full of tourists just walking around and luckily find organized holiday events happening. And some know right where to look for all the best shows.
All the way from the UK to watch that spinning mill, County Durham.
It's really nice. It's nice and bright. It reminds me of, you know, holiday decor. So I'm excited to see it. I haven't been here in a long time.
Cold night didn't stop the public from viewing a popular holiday show favorite. One that many will return to watch again next year. Sean Marshall, NTD News.
That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For on-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.